All the wonders of modern medicine can't change two simple facts. One, people sometimes need organ transplants. Two, organ transplants are expensive. And there's another fact to bring in here. Sometimes the people who need organ transplants are very young. That's why the Children's Organ Transplant Association, or CODA, was created. CODA helps families give information and gather money on an internet portal. It's crowdfunding organ transplants for kids. We'll be talking about two children from our region. Jenny James is in the studio with me. She's the mother of Noah James, who needs a kidney. Jenny, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And joining us by phone is Dana Schalheim, who's the volunteer community coordinator for Helen, who received a kidney just last week. Welcome, Dana.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with you, actually, Dana. Tell us a bit about CODA and how long it's been around and how it got started.
CODA started in the mid-'80s, I believe 1986, and it stands for Children's Organ Transplant Association. It's a nationally registered 501c3 nonprofit, which means that all donations to CODA are tax-deductible. And they've been helping children across the country since then mobilize volunteers like myself and Jenny's team, and to help relieve some of the extraordinary expenses produced by an organ transplant.
Are they generally not covered by insurance? Is that one of the issues we're running into here?
Well, insurance does cover a part of it, yes, but there's a large variety of things that are not covered by insurance. For example, being from our region, the enormous amounts of travel back and forth to a major medical center like OHSU, or in some cases south to San Francisco, and lodging, supplements, copays for medicines, and these medicines have to be taken for the child's lifetime, not just for a short time after the transplant. So there's the costs are just extraordinary, and CODA helps relieve those items.
Now, I notice the child for whom you're working, Helen Lynn, just got her kidney transplanted last week. It is Noah James, Jenny's son, who is now still waiting for a kidney. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at some of the videos on the CODA for Noah J website. He had some medical issues even before he was born, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, they had diagnosed that he was having an enlarged bladder in utero. And they didn't know what kind of damage that would do to his genitourinary tract system until he was born. And so from 18 weeks in utero on, they told me that there would be problems. Excuse me. They also said that he had a condition called prune belly. They were pretty sure of it. But when he was born, he didn't have it. You know. So sometimes doctors are wrong, and you just kind of have to pray for the best and wait. And we did. And when he was born, he came out, we like to say he came out peeing and pooping and crying, so his lungs worked, and at least parts of that system worked. And so what it's come down to now is he does have an enlarged bladder. His ureters are what they call tortuously distended, and so he has a acidosis from his ureters, and then he also it damaged his kidneys. And they didn't know how—
The ureters lead from the kidney to the bladder, right?
To the bladder, yeah. And they didn't know how much the kidneys would be damaged by that until they start working on their own kidneys, which is when they come out of the womb. And he's now at stage 4 kidney disease. Stage 5 is dialysis, and when people start getting transplants. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of limping along on these kidneys until he'll need the transplant.
Judging by the videos, it looks like he's despite his health issues, a pretty happy kid.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's walking, he's running, and Dana probably knows about this, and I'm sure Helen is fed by a gastric tube, because a lot of these kids are nauseous all the time. They don't want to eat. And so you feed them through a gastric tube, and you have to hold this IV pole behind them as they get fed. It takes about an hour and a half to feed Noah. But as he started learning to walk and run, I was running with this IV pole behind him. And so I'm like, wait for mom. And so, yeah, he's you know, a lot of his doctors say some of these kids don't learn to walk until they get after they're transplanted, just because they feel so sick all the time. And he's just doing so great. You know, everybody looks at him and says, he doesn't even look sick. And I said, I know. If looks were everything, we'd be great.
Right, but it's more than that, though. How did you find out about the Children's Organ Transplant Association?
For me, it was an answer to prayer. People started saying, we want to help Noah. How do we do this? And I said, I don't know yet. Yeah, I know that we are going to have these problems in the future. I just don't know. And so I started researching and went online. And, you know, I think I basically put in there funding for children's transplants, and came up online and did some research and called them and talked to them for a long time. And they don't do just kidney transplants. They do all kinds of transplants, you know, bone marrow transplants and liver transplants. And kids, there are a lot of kids that need a lot of different transplants. And so when I found this, and, you know, 100%, like Dana said, 100% of your donation goes directly to the child because you donate in honor of Noah or in honor of Helen. But you donate to CODA, and it's a nonprofit organization, and so they get you get a tax deduction from it, but 100% of it goes to the child. So it really worked well for us.
CODA is the Children's Organ Transplant Association. Jenny James is the mother of Noah James, who needs a kidney. We also have on the line Dana Schalheim, who's a community volunteer coordinator for Helen Lynn, who just received a kidney last week. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your questions, comments, and maybe some stories of your own about similar situations. 800-838-3760 by phone around the region, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Dana, do you have some idea of how many kids are represented by CODA at this point?
I think it's in the hundreds, if not the thousands, that they have helped since 1986 when they started their fine work out of Bloomington, Indiana initially. Now they're registered in all 50 states. And, you know, you can search for a family or families through their website. There's actually was a third family at one point. I don't know if that family's still in the area. And all three children either are now the recipient or hope to be the recipient of a kidney transplant in the future. But yes, it's in the hundreds, if not the thousands. And to date, you know, we've been so blessed by the support from the region for Helen, and have raised $55,000 so far. And it goes to children like Helen. It's not considered income, and they never take a cut of that. And every penny of what I raise is sort of held in escrow to be reimbursed for appropriate and vetted transplant-related expenses throughout her life.
Tell us about Helen's situation, how it is that her kidneys got damaged.
So what happened is she came into contact with E. coli, and we have no idea how. It could have been something that the dog dragged in. She could have licked her hands on a playground. She could have had an unpasteurized food item that was somehow contaminated. We just have no idea, unfortunately. And so what started out as a really bad stomach flu then, it turned out, was not bad at all. It was something way more severe, and it was an E. coli infection that then manifested itself as HUS, hemolytic uremic syndrome, which destroyed her kidneys. From what I understand, I'm not a doctor, but it makes the blood vessels in the kidneys essentially shatter and renders them mostly useless. And so she was in the hospital for 60 days initially, the starting Labor Day weekend of 2013, and was on heme dialysis, so that's through the blood, hooked up to all these very disturbing-looking tubes, was out of the hospital, and then they continued with daily peritoneal dialysis at home, given to her by her parents, who had to take an extensive class on how to make sure things were sterile, and that happened for a number of months. And then she had a little bit of a break. Her kidneys regained just enough function to be off dialysis for about a year. And just like Noah, you wouldn't know that Helen was sick looking at her. She's a very happy, very spirited child. It's heartbreaking that she has this journey, but you wouldn't know it by looking at her, and she's just the fight in her. And so she had a transplant 8 days ago and is doing quite well, still in hospital at OHSU's Dornbecker's Children's Hospital, and recovering nicely.
So she's doing well. Okay, good. Just a little more than a week ago for Helen. So what are the prospects at this point for Noah? Is it just he's on the list? You just have to wait for the kidney to come up?
Actually, no, I'm his donor.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it turns out Noah was born by artificial insemination, and the donor, the sperm donor, is anonymous, so I never knew who his father was. And when he got sick, I thought, well, I'm probably going to be the closest match. And so I've gone through a whole bunch of extensive tests to find out if my kidney will work for him, and it turns out, thank you forever, that it will. And so whenever his kidneys begin to get worse, then we'll both go up, and then he'll get my kidney.
So the expenses are listed as a lot higher for Noah than for Helen. Is it simply because of his small stature, or what are the complicating factors there?
For you kind of work with the COTA team to decide how much per family will need. The doctors are thinking Noah will need a second transplant by the time he's 20. My kidney will probably last him through his adolescence. And infancy and adolescence are the two hardest times on a person's kidneys. And so if this kidney will get him through adolescence, then maybe we're looking at another transplant after that. So as Dana said, COTA gives you a fund for the child's lifetime. It's not just for their childhood. And so we're trying to be good stewards and prepare, have a fund for preparation for the future. And the immunosuppressive drugs that he'll be on.
Anti-rejection drugs.
The anti-rejection drugs, yeah. He'll be on, for the rest of his life, and those are quite expensive per year. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to build a fund up for that.
All right. The reason I ask is because the difference here is Helen's expenses are listed as being $75,000. Mm-hmm. Noah's are listed at being $200,000. We're talking about COTA, the Children's Organ Transplant Association, with Jenny James, who is the mother of a child who is waiting for a kidney transplant from her. Dana Schallheim is a volunteer community coordinator for Helen Lynn, who just got a kidney last week. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Now, it sounds like you have people on two continents pulling for Noah.
Yeah, I was an international teacher in Seoul, South Korea for 6 years. And when I was first pregnant, that's where he was diagnosed with problems. When I was in Seoul, I was going to my prenatal exams there, and then found out that I probably needed to come home to get treated, and had him here at OHSU when he was born, March of 2014. But I still have a great community back at Seoul Foreign School. And in fact, it's not just at Seoul. I mean, from there, people that now live all over the world. So I have friends, who are in Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabia and England and Amsterdam. They live all over the place that are helping out and trying to raise funds for him.
Dana, with Helen's story, did COTA and having the websites out there in part help find donors? I mean, is that part of the process that with COTA that donors actually can step up through that through the websites?
The donor was found actually through a mutual friend of Lauren's, and it's quite amazing how this worked out. So the Lynns had just moved to our community in early 2013 from Alaska, and they had a huge community of supporters in Alaska. They'd lived there for a long time, great network there. And it was actually a former coworker of Lauren's from years back who heard about Helen's problems through a mutual friend through social media, and said, not knowing that she knew Lauren, that they were colleagues at one point, said, yeah, I can do that. I can step up and be an angel and a hero and a lifesaver of this child. And then later found out that they were, that they had worked together all this time up in Alaska. And so that's how it happened for us. And I know that the social workers and the medical teams up at OHSU play a large part of helping to attract live donors, and as does fabulous organizations like Donate Life Northwest, whose mission is to register people to be organ and tissue donors. And anyone who's listening can find out more about that by visiting DonateLifeNorthwest.org. This is just one person that just felt that it was her calling to help a child. We're just so grateful. It's hard to put into words how grateful we are to Lori, who stepped forward and really gave Helen a second chance at life.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Statistics show that live donation, live kidney donation, the kids do better with live kidneys rather than deceased kidneys. Although, mm-hmm. I met somebody yesterday whose brother actually had a traumatic brain injury, and before he passed away, he donated, his kidneys and his liver and did an incredible work to help, five different people with his organ donation. I mean, that's something you can put on your driver's license card, is that I want to be an organ donor in case, and just to prepare for that, because it's really kind of your last selfless act that you can do for deceased donors and for people who are already living and choose to give a kidney or portion of their liver or something. It's really an incredible selfless act. But if you feel like that's part of something you might want to do, definitely go to Organ Donation Northwest and
Look up and see what you can do. It's easy to get that put on your driver's license. So if you happen to be in a fatal wreck, for example, they'll know you're an organ donor on the spot.
Sure.
But the happy news, obviously, about kidneys is you can be alive as you are. So was there any trepidation on your part? Obviously, it's your child. But, I mean, did you ever think about this before Noah was born?
It's on my driver's license. I always just thought I would, I'm not going to use it anymore. Go ahead kind of thing. But when he was born and I found out he's going to need a kidney, for a second you're like, wow, I think that's going to be me. And then, of course, it's going to be you. They have to ask a question, your donor advocate. They have a donor advocate to make sure you're not coerced and not paid, because you can't get paid for organ donation and it's illegal in this country. And my donor advocate said, so why are you doing this? She goes, I know why, but you have to ask it. And I said, well, he's my son. So, of course, the statistics show that my life, if I'm going to live a healthy life, with one kidney, I can do it. I can do it with one just as much as I could do it with two. So,
Dana Schallheim, you mentioned that the Children's Organ Transplant Association, CODA, started in 1986. How big a difference has it made to have the internet there to be able to reach more people in more places with these stories of children like Noah and like Helen?
Oh, just priceless. My story began with this process because, I myself was going through cancer treatment. I'm currently surviving cancer, and when I was going through treatment, the amazing women of the Rogues Valley and just turned out of the woodwork and helped me out. And Lauren was one of those people. And then when I found out that Helen got sick, I thought, maybe we can have a bake sale, or maybe we can raise a few dollars for her. And we got connected with CODA, and I seeded this campaign for Helen via Facebook, paying for ads and posting them, promoting and boosting our site. We now have over 1,000 followers on CODAForHelenL. Facebook.com/CODAForHelenL. And then that's also linked to our CODA website, CODAForHelenL.com.
All right. It seems a lot more efficient than bake sales and car washes in the ways that we used to raise money for such things.
Absolutely. It's just been incredible. Facebook and Twitter have been extraordinary.
All right. Dana Schallheim, volunteer community coordinator for Helen L., and Jenny James, the mother of Noah J. We're talking about the Children's Organ Transplant Association. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.